Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, welcome. I'm pro-life leader Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. We are delighted to have you with us for this time of prayer and reflections on the scriptures that embolden, enliven, illumine our pro-life convictions and actions. I know so many of you are united with me and with Priests for Life in this effort to save the unborn from abortion. And that is part of saving our nation from destruction. Thank you for being with us and for spreading the word about these programs and these reflections. Let's pray, and then we're going to go into the gospel reading assigned for today's Feast of the Visitation, that episode in Luke's gospel where Mary visits Elizabeth and St. John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb is greeted and rejoices in the presence of Jesus Christ in Mary's womb. A fascinating moment of unborn child speaking to unborn child, one unborn child being God himself. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, you create the lives of each one of us, whom you chose from all eternity. Beginning in our mother's wombs, you form us fearfully and wonderfully by your work in the secret places. And Lord God, for every life we praise you, because life and its dignity cry out to us as soon as we look at those lives, as we see those lives, the beauty that you placed in them, the wisdom reflected in them, and the love that they give and receive. Lord God, we see you. Every life is a reflection of your glory, a manifestation of your presence and love. Therefore, Lord God, as we meditate on your word, which is the word of life, deepen our commitment to proclaim, to celebrate, and to serve the gospel of life. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. So here we read in Luke chapter 1, this encounter of Mary, Elizabeth, and their unborn children. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned home. This prayer of exaltation and of glorification of God that Mary says on this occasion is called the Magnificat, a Latin word which means magnifies, taken from the first words of the prayer. My soul magnifies the Lord, and in Latin, the verb comes first. Magnifies my soul the greatness of the Lord. The Magnificat is prayed every single night in the church's liturgy of the hours. If you say the liturgy of the hours, because it's a prayer, a form of prayer that both clergy and laity can offer, you know that. Each day, having lived another day as disciples of the God who does great things, we see every day the words of this prayer come true. Because each and every day, he has mercy on those who fear him. As the events of each and every day unfold, he shows the strength of his arm. His strength in calming the winds and the waves that are going on in our lives. Calming our fears and anxieties, provided we take his hand, because his hand is always reaching down to do exactly that. The strength of his arm, protecting us from evils and calamities, protecting the nation, protecting the world. He scatters the proud in their conceit every day. Jesus taught, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. And this might happen in simple encounters with other people. People think they're so smart and they try to exalt themselves, and circumstances end up humbling them instead. Every day, he casts down the mighty and feeds the hungry and has mercy on the sinful. So it's appropriate that this song of praise is recited every single evening in the evening prayer of the church, because this is describing God's actions, not just to Mary at that moment. Mary, who did not expect to be chosen as the mother of the Lord, and the phrase, the title, Mother of God, comes right from this. Obviously, Jesus is God, so it comes from the logic of realizing who Jesus is and who Mary is as his mother. Of course, she's the mother of God. But scripturally, we find the reference right here in Elizabeth's words, the mother of my Lord. And at this moment, Mary is carrying the Lord in her womb. God was an unborn child for those 9 months between the Annunciation and the first Christmas. Let's look a little more deeply at this assertion of Mary and of the church every day, that he scatters the proud in their conceit and casts down the mighty from their thrones. This is a particularly important truth for today. It's a particularly important truth as we examine our own journey of salvation and look at it in the light of the stories and the history that we find in the scriptures. God cast down the mighty from their thrones when he drowned Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers in the waters of the Red Sea, prefiguring baptism and rescuing God's people from slavery. They were arrogant. They decided to go chasing after God's people, even though they had endured the plagues and were afraid that they would all die as a result. The arrogance overrode the fear, and they went chasing after them. But God's power overrode the arrogance. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. He has humbled the proud in their conceit. What did he do with the king of Babylon and with so many other prideful kings in both the Old and the New Testaments who set themselves against the covenant of God, against the ways and will of the Lord, against the love of God for his people, and set up false worship, set up shrines. We think of Ahab and his wife Jezebel, set up shrines for the killing of children, exactly what we're doing today by abortion. The arrogance that Isaiah in chapter 14 pointed out against the king of Babylon, whom he called Lucifer, because he said, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the throne, I will be like the Most High. That's the arrogance in the heart that the devil inspired in our very first parents with his fake promise. You will be like gods, knowing good and evil. That is deciding the difference. I write my own commandments. It's all up to my choice, even if it means killing a child. My choice, my rights, my body, myself, my arrogance. Yes, and you will be humbled. Because he casts down the mighty from their thrones, thrones that they set up in their own hearts, to say, I will assert myself. It's not the will or the word or the choice of God that matters. I will assert myself. He has humbled the mighty. He has lifted up the lowly. Because remember, this incident we read in the gospel is just after Mary says that word fiat. When Gabriel comes to her announcing that she would be the mother of God, she says, let it be done to me according to your word. In other words, I'm being shaped and formed, led and guided by the word that proceeds from the will, the choice of God. Now, it's not about my choice. Mary says fiat, and God lifts up the lowly, the humble. St. Paul is another example of God fulfilling these words each day in the Magnificat. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. At that point, Paul's throne was his horse, and he was riding around, gathering up the Christians, helping the persecution of Jesus himself and the mighty Lord cast him from his throne with that bolt of lightning and that voice, saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he does this in our own lives. When the haughty, the arrogant sin and temptation that tries to take over. Remember, Jesus said, he who sins is a slave of sin. We don't flirt with sin. It has one goal, to take over and to destroy. Sin doesn't want to dance with us and then say goodnight. Sin doesn't want to play with us and then go home. Sin comes to take over completely and to destroy. Arrogance. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. Every time you say no to a temptation, he has cast down the mighty from their thrones. Brothers and sisters, let's rejoice, because this prayer also means he casts us free from tyranny. Cast down the mighty from their thrones, those who would rule us in a way that does not serve our rights, but rather destroys them. The pro-abortion politicians, for example, what power does the unborn child have in a system of government that, as St. John Paul II says, once it legalizes the killing of the weak by the strong and makes all their rights, their most basic right to life, negotiable, what power do they have against that? John Paul says it becomes a tyrant state when it legalizes abortion. And a tyrant state is a tyrant state across the board. And we see tyranny in leaders who, in the United States, disregard the Constitution, put activist judges in the courts, so that now it's the will of the judges, not the will of the people, that prevails. This was one of the things that the Supreme Court repented of a year ago in the Dobbs decision, overruling Roe versus Wade. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. What the judges were saying, the justices, was we cannot substitute the judgment of the people of America with our own. This is the mistake, they said, that many judges and justices make when they try to, for example, taking the term liberty or privacy make it mean whatever they want it to mean. That is so easy to do. And yet, if the Constitution does not explicitly list what privacy and liberty include, one has to tread very carefully before asserting that it does. And that was the mistake Roe v. Wade made, to say that privacy or liberty include the so-called right to kill a child in the womb. Whatever you think the value of that life is, there's obviously a second life, otherwise there would be no debate here over abortion. The justices said we must not make that mistake, to think that we can read into privacy and liberty or anything else what we would prefer it to mean or a policy that we would prefer to have. No, we're going to leave it to the wisdom, experience, debate, and ultimate will of the people of America and their elected representatives through whom they express that will legislatively, rather than thinking that we, 9 justices on the court, can resolve this problem. God is fulfilling the words of this prayer. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. They are not. The court is not supposed to be the policy-making oligarchy of America. Sovereignty rests with the people. The court is there to resolve disputes in the light of the Constitution and of the laws that were made by the people. And if, in fact, those laws are found to be contrary to the Constitution, the Supreme Court doesn't go ahead and make new laws. It returns it to the people. He casts down the mighty from their thrones. Let us pray that he will burn out the arrogance from our hearts, that he will burn away the arrogance of anyone in a court, in a legislature, or in an executive office who thinks that they can impose their will on the people, or even worse, that they can alter the law of God himself. Let us pray that he will cast down the mighty from their thrones and always, always lift up the lowly, especially the lowliest of all, the humblest of all, the weakest of all, the children in the womb. Let us pray. Lord, we bring together all our prayers today because we have many needs and we thank you for hearing them. We know, Lord God, that you always hear us. We thank you for allowing us to hear one another. We lift up our brothers and sisters and their needs. And we gather together all these prayers and praises, offering the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray to our Heavenly Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Well, thanks, friends. Continue strong in your pro-life commitment. Let's continue strongly working with one another. Priests for Life has many projects that we want you to be involved in. Check them out at endabortion.us. Much, much to do and getting done, and victories one after the other will continue to be won for the sake of the lowliest, the unborn. Let's stay together in this battle. Let's stay together on these broadcasts. Connect with me on the other social media platforms at Fr. Frank Pavone, and we will talk to you soon.
Hi, this is Janet Porter. Just giving a message to my good friend, Father Frank Pavone. I realize that I've been friends with Father Frank for almost 30 years. That's a long time to know someone and to be in the battle side by side with him. Even in the early days when we were working to pass the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion, when they were starving Terry Schiavo nearly 20 years ago. He was there where the battle was the hottest. And I remember when we first came up with the idea and God gave us the strategy for a heartbeat bill. One of the first people I called was Father Frank Pavone. And wouldn't you know it, his name went on the supporter list and was part of the effort to keep hearts beating. He's always been there. He's always been on the right side of the issue. And I'm just very, very grateful for him and his stalwart stand and his an inspiration. I remember even at the CNP meetings, he would give a Catholic mass with a Baptist sermon. He never discounted the gospel, and he never lost sight of protecting those children in the womb. And I just want to encourage people that this is an incredible organization. They've done great good. As a former Lutheran, I can tell you that I back Priests for Life. It's just an organization that's making a difference. And I hope that you'll watch the programs and participate. Putting your faith to action to keep hearts beating and to bring the killing to an end.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.